Hallelujah. Pick up your Bible and open Romans chapter 11. A little exhortation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Chapter 11, Romans. I want us to pick our thought from verse 24 again. Now, it says, "For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, the Israelites, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" Before you sit down again, Ephesians chapter 3. This is what Apostle Paul was speaking from verse 1. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you what? How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." As I wrote afore in few words, "whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What is the mystery? "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word in the name of Jesus. Sit down. The emphasis here, amen, the emphasis here is the mystery of the salvation of the Gentiles. That is the emphasis. I want to say something. The mystery, why is it mysterious? Why is it mysterious? A mystery is something that is not explainable. A mystery is something that is encoded. Except it is decoded, you will not understand. A mystery keeps you wondering. It's a wonder. It keeps you wondering because you cannot understand it. It's a mystery, and the greatest mystery that is in existence now is the mystery of the salvation of Gentiles. It is called the mystery of God. And that mystery, according to the scriptures, will be rounding up in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. And what is the mystery? I repeat, it is the salvation of the Gentiles. And Apostle Paul broke it down that this mystery is clearly seen in the fact that we are grafted contrary to nature. That is where the mystery is. There is the natural way of grafting, but this our own grafting now, we are also grafted, but somehow it is not according to the natural way grafting processes take place. This one now, we are grafted contrary to nature. Contrary to nature makes it mysterious. The Church of Jesus Christ started from the day of Pentecost. And anybody that is studying the Bible, if you are a Bible student, even if it is a Bible reader, you are. Those who read is different from those who study. Those who study, they ask questions. Those who read, they only cram scriptures. Like those children, they were cramming. They don't understand the depth of what they are saying. But if you study, you will ask that the Church of Jesus Christ is what you see displayed in that parable in Matthew chapter 13 of the wheat and the tares. The owner of the farm there is the church of Jesus Christ, planted good seed. But while men slept, the enemy went and planted tares. Amen. But at when they, all of them began to grow up, the servants of the owner of the farm, I'm paraphrasing that story, went and saw what he didn't plant there also. And they came to him, "Master, was it not good seed you planted? How come tares are also in that same farm?" What did he say? He said, "An enemy has done this." This enemy is the gates of hell, otherwise known as the Antichrist spirit. What is the ministry of tares? The tares were planted there to choke and choke, amen, the real seed there. But he said the gates of hell shall not prevail. So what did he say? He said, "Let all of them grow up together until the harvest time." So that if you are asking questions like those servants, how did this come about? How did it come about that the church now is in the estate that we are in today? Church, I'm looking at the church of Jesus Christ generally, but we are also part of that church. And what you see happening in the general universal church is reflected in the local churches. Bride Assembly is not exempted. And I'm not preaching to make us feel as if we are the true church. So that you look at the gathering called Bride Assembly Church in Jesha as a standard. No. That is not. I want you to understand a mystery. Hallelujah. A mystery of the composition of the church of Jesus Christ. I have taken this in several sermons before, but in bringing out the picture of how the church will look like, Jesus Christ did not speak only one parable. He brought them in different parables and in different areas, speaking to the same people, the picture of what the church will look like. So anything I see that is quickening to me, that will make the individual Christian to see a proper picture of the church of Jesus Christ, if I see it, I will quickly come and share it with you, hoping that we will achieve two things. Number one, to help those who easily get stumbled, to help them out of their estate of confusion. There are people that come to church and they see certain actions by members, and they get stumbled. Some get stumbled out of that particular church. Some get stumbled and even out of the Christian faith totally because of what they jam when they go to church. Some people have come to this church, Bride Assembly Church, Ijesha, Lagos, Nigeria. By what they saw, they ran away again. The thing where I see from my former church, I come here, I come see, say it was over here. That's the purpose of bringing out this picture for us to see. And secondly, so that you will properly place yourself, you will know who you are, which of this mix-up are you? Mix-up. The church of Jesus Christ is described severally in the scriptures. Severally. Some is described as a composition of wheat and tares. It's described as carnal and spiritual people. It's described as foolish and wise virgins. It's described as sons and servants of God. The spirit in the church of Jesus Christ is also described as the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Two spirits are there, each of them producing error will produce falsehood. So you have true and false teachers, true and false prophets. That's why even among the ministerial board, you have ministers of Christ and ministers of Satan. That's why the church is a mixed multitude. Mixed multitude. I hope I will help somebody who come here to understand and not be stumbled. For every seed will bring forth its kind. A tear can never become a wheat. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So in looking at this, William Branham saw the need to let us understand in a sermon he preached the three kinds of believers. But today I'm going to look at the topic I titled The Types of Believers, so that you will know which type you are. So that you can point to a Christian and look at the Christian and say, you are this type of Christian. You are this type of Christian. You yourself, you can tell yourself, I am this type of Christian, because you cannot deceive yourself. You cannot deceive yourself. For there is the identification. And the identification of the types of believers, the Lord Jesus Christ said, by their fruits. By their fruits. Amen. A tree is known by her fruits. By her fruits. Amen. William Branham called the three kinds of believers. He called one group believers. The second group, make believers. And the third group, in the same church, unbelievers. He said the first group are the believers. And these believers, amen, the Bible described them, I hope you know also, another description of the composition of the church that I forgot to mention is, the Bible described them as sheep and goats. There are sheep and goats. And the difference between the sheep and the goat is that the sheep hear the voice of the master and follows the master. And the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Praise God. Voice of their master, they know it. And once they identify the master, they follow without argument. Without argument, they are obedient. But a goat will argue even with God. So, that is a complete unbeliever. Then we have the make believer. The make believer are the hypocrites in the church. They are chameleon. They have the spirit of chameleon. You would think that they are Christian. They can act like Christians. But the time is going to prove who they are. Well, that is as brought out by the prophet William Branham. I want you to take note that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was going to call Peter and his brother, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said, follow me, and I will do what? And I will make thee fishers of men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are likened to fishes. We are likened to fishes. A fish is an edible, is edible meat. Fish is edible. Fish is nourishing. Fish. And fish is gotten from the water. Fish. Hallelujah. You don't get fish any other place other than in the water. Revelation 17 lets us know what water also symbolizes scripturally. Water signifies multitude. It signifies the populace, the population, people, multitude. So, the world, the population of the world, the act of going among them to get believers, it is a fishing process. To fish them out of the water of the world. That's what he said. Follow me and I will make thee a fisherman. And you know that Peter began to fish on the day of Pentecost. How many did he fish that first day? How many? 3,000 souls. 3,000. Another time, 5,000. That was the beginning of the fishing. Praise the Lord. Of course, Jesus started the fishing. But he was able to get only 120. At least, that followed him all the way. But he was going to teach them how to fish. And so that you will understand this fishing process. We go to Matthew chapter 13, on verse 47. It's the last parable, and that is the parable of the seventh church age. And it is the seventh parable of the seventh parable of the seven parables of Matthew 13. And each parable is a reflection of every age of the seven church ages. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Are you catching what we are doing? We are doing Bible study. The kingdom of heaven there is the church of Jesus Christ, the period where God is establishing his kingdom here on earth, establishing his church. He said, this is how you will understand it. This is how you will understand it. I read verse 47 again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like. So, you will understand. Unto a net. When you want to fish, there's the fishing net. And that fishing net is the gospel. And that fishing net is the miracle signs and wonders in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That fishing net is the crusades we hold. That fishing net are the various programs that will invite people to come and notice Jesus. Come and see him. That is the fishing net that was cast into the sea of people. But what does that net gather? It gathers every kind. Every kind is gathered. Praise the Lord. It catches all manner of things that is inside that water that the net is able to pass over. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Including even human waste. Human waste. The person that cast that net, what was he looking for? Amen. He was looking for fish. Amen. Not just fish, but edible fish. But this net can catch and always catch, physically speaking, even human waste, polythene bags, plastic products, that they throw in the waste, through the gutters, they flush into the sea. It catches even water animals. It's not only fish that is inside the sea. There are other water, there is tortoise inside the sea. There is sea tortoise. It's inside there. There are some seafood also, like a crab. Like what again? There are other things, but it's not looking for those ones. It's a fish it's looking for. It's a fisherman. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But these fishes, hey, praise God. Hallelujah. Even among fishes, there are different types of fishes. And every type has a name. See, I am not here teaching you botany. I'm not teaching you fishery. I'm teaching you the gospel. I want you to understand. This fish, now believe us, so. And they have names. It's a type of believers. When I was meditating on this topic last night, a thought occurred to me and I started laughing by myself in my room. I said, what can this mean that every fish has a name? Every type of fish has a name. How will I place it? Do you know? Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know that now, as we are now, I remember the story that William Branham told us, where he was shown the preview of the bride. He said, wait, let me show you the church. There is the church and there is the bride. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He said, let me show you a preview of the bride. He said, but first, let me show you the church. Every country, every believer was identified by the country they came from. So, it's a vision he was seeing. I see the church from Rome. Of course, you know what they wish. They show the German church. He saw them, very horrible description. Each one, Chinese church, pass. This one, pass. Now, how did he know that they are Chinese? There was something that identified them that shows where they are coming from. I was wondering how it will look like. I don't know. Brother Abraham didn't mention it. Did God show you, Brother Abraham, African church, particularly Nigeria? How will Nigerian church look like? Because the spirit that rules Nigeria is the spirit of corruption. So I don't know how the church will look like. What will be the identity? Amen. Hallelujah. You have not understood. Maybe you don't understand what I'm saying. Today, which church do you come from? That's the question that we ask you. If you say, I am from Redeem, they will say, Yoruba church. You are a Yoruba fish. That is the kind of fish you are, Yoruba fish. Which church are you from? Assemblies of God. You are Igbo. you are Igbo fish. And in this setting, you must see some identification of the tribe they come from among them. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Which church are you from? I am a choosing. Everybody go know, say, now our church be that. If you be Igbo, now our church. Where is their headquarters? Is it in Kano? Is it in Kano? It's in his village. The headquarters of Redeem. Is it in Abuja? Yoruba man has his headquarters in his Yoruba village. That is the composition of the Church of Jesus Christ. So, every fish, we have some fish known as a croaker. We have a catfish. If we say, there is a goldfish. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. And you know them more than me, especially women who go to market. Hallelujah. Different types of fish. But note, as I've spoken earlier before in my earlier messages, that even among the edible fish, among the fishes, I have about four peculiar fishes that will help me, you know, let you understand this mixed multitude of the church. Let's just pick maybe like five of them. Let's use five of them. The first one we have is the crayfish. And there is a saying that goes with crayfish. Everybody knows it. Eh? He said, na condition make crayfish bend. It's a fish, but it is a qualified fish, cray. You will soon know which one you belong. And everybody, get ready, because I may ask you if I have time. Everybody, tell me which one be your own. And you must speak the truth. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Crayfish. The Christians that condition, hungry, hunger, especially hunger, temptation, trial, threat, frustration. Now if I stay like this, let's say go die. Condition will make you bend your Christian faith. Compromise your Christian faith to get what you want and satisfy yourself for the moment. You have your identity as crayfish. We also have electric fish. The electric fish here, amen, are people who you look at and you will think that they are Christians because of their appearance, outward appearance. Or because of a gift that they exercise. Either a singing gift, a preaching gift, a prophetic gift, a healing gift, a deliverance gift. Or the dressing, the dress. Or the part they play in any way in the church. Their appearance in the church. We make you say, this is a Christian brother. This is a Christian sister. It is a fish, oh, but it is electric fish, naked electricity. How will you know? You go near them as Christians. You go unguided. You believe in a brother, Christian brother, Christian sister, and what you jam will shock you. It's electricity that shocks. Some people die from shock. That fish can kill you. Can kill your spiritual life. Can kill the Christian love in you. Can kill the Christian zeal in you. Can destroy fellowship in you. Because you'll be so stumbled. Imagine. A whole pastor, he tried to rape me. This man went with the sitting angel. He raped me. Or he tried to rape me. I can never go to that church again. You didn't meet a pastor. You met an electric fish. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Two more fishes. One is called stockfish. I'm speaking about Christians, so. And the fifth one, smoked fish. Smoke. Stockfish and the smoked fish. Praise the Lord. These are two types of fishes that are edible fishes. But when you go and you bring them out, there is a special process they go through that make them, you know, be attracted to the eater. Everybody eats stockfish. Stockfish make the soup sweet, at least, especially in this part of the world where we love swallow. Some delicacies are not complete without stockfish inside. Some soup. Even Ebele, that thing where you buy yesterday, where one woman carry for head. What do you call it again?
Abacha and Ugba.
Ugba. Is that Abacha and Ugba?
Abacha and Ugba.
Stockfish there inside.
Stockfish there
inside. There inside. There inside. Praise God. One of the reasons you bought that thing was because of that stockfish where they inside. But stockfish is like any other fish in the sea, but there's something special about it. For you to enjoy eating that fish, what do? You bring it out and let it undergo some drying process. That drying process preserves it and gives it its delicious, hallelujah, its delicious attraction that everyone will love to eat it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Smoked fish also is brought, and once you have passed it through that smoking process, pass through that fire that produces that smoke, and it is smoked, it is preserved, it is dried, they are specially taken care of by the eaters, so that you will understand what was going on in John chapter 21. Now, Jesus Christ, he resurrected and he saw his disciples fishing, verse 5. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. After all, he said he would teach them how to fish men. They cast, therefore, and now, they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he gathered his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, But they were not far from land, but as it were, 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, what did they see? They saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, what did he say? Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bring of the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is what is happening. Before they will dine, the fish has to be prepared by fire. That's where my emphasis is. Every true fish that will be edible by the Lord, that will be acceptable by the Lord, every fish, before you qualify to be edible, you must undergo a process. You must undergo a process. You are enjoying stockfish. It underwent a process where a lot of things were removed from it to make it edible. And it is also the process enabled that fish to be preserved. It does not get rotten if it goes through the right process. That smoked fish, there's a reason why they smoke it. The taste is enhanced. It is also preserved. Hallelujah. There are other fishes, but this particular fish is not every fish that is edible. Before a fish is edible, it must undergo a process. That is my emphasis. So that the ability for you to be called a proper fish, there must be an ability for you to undergo through that process. Fishers of men. And this, I'm inspired by this, because Christianity has been turned upside down. Christianity is turned upside down. We must understand the salvation process, so that when you're undergoing trials, being shaped, not knowing that it's God taking you through a process that will enable you to be edible. You don't begin to backslide and cry and make it look as if God has forsaken you. That is even evidence you're a true fish. In Romans chapter 5, let's read some scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, 4 and 5. This is the way Apostle Paul put it. He said, and not only so, but we, the edible fishes, we glory, we rejoice, we are happy in tribulations also. Why did he say also? Because we will glory in testimonies, in miracles, in signs and wonders, in breakthrough. We are to glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation will produce patience. It worketh patience, a virtue that makes you acceptable before God. And patience, hallelujah, will give you experience that will give you hope. Experience will produce hope. And hope, people who have a hope, make it not ashamed. They don't care about their present estate because they have a hope that this is momentary. This is taking me somewhere. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. That is why 1 Peter also chapter 4, verse 12, 13, and 14. He said, beloved, this is another apostle. The first one was Paul. This is now Peter. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the very trials which is to try you. As though some strange thing happened unto you. It's not strange. It's not strange. It's not strange. It's a process you must go through. That fish must be smoked. That fish must be dried. The stockfish must be dried. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And verse 14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. Wow. I read that verse again. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, not because you have suffered, you are suffering because you are a gossip, you are a liar, you are a thief, you are a fornicator, but because you try to display Christ and you are faced with all manner of afflictions, trials, persecutions. What did he say? Happy are you. You should be happy, oh. You should rejoice. Why? For the spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. On their part, those who are doing that against you, troubling your life, he's evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Jesus Christ says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Hey, it was not the crown, to become a king of kings. His glorification, to make him edible, he had to go through the cross. His glory will only be made manifest through the cross. And if you will follow me, pick up your cross and follow me. You must follow the same path. And there is no shortcut. No side cut. You cannot dodge it. You can never go to heaven by passing the cross. It's a process. Every one of us must go through. And remember, it is for Christ's sake. Apostle Paul, the apostle said, all that shall live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Peter repeated again in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He spoke and came to verse 6 and said, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, because it's not forever. If need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold temptations that the trial of your faith, everything you are going through is a trial of your faith. It's a trial of your faith. Be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. That faith might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Why did he liken our trial by fire as that of gold? When gold is brought out of the earth, it has a lot of earthly attachments. Sand and mud and other metals will be attached to it. They are so gummed together that you cannot use only water to wash it. Church, listen to me. Our conversion to turn us totally away from worldliness will not only the way we have been so glued to the world, attached to the world. Yes, we are washed with the water. Hallelujah. By the washing of the water, by the word. The word washes us. But there are some aspects of this cleansing. When we are brought out of the world, that gold, like gold, if you wash it with water, you will still see some attachments there. And some of those attachments will never go, let go of that gold. Only if you pass it through fire. And it's not every metal that can go through fire. It's not every Christian that can go through trial. It's not every church goer that can go through trial. It is only the true seed. And it's not whether you like it. It is not it's not something that is offered, whether you choose, whether you like. It's not an option. Everyone, you must be purified. And the purifying process is like that of gold that goes through fire. Oh, praise God. And at the end, it must bring forth praise. Praise. And it is not forever. It's not forever. That's why, when you are undergoing some trial, you better allow him have his way. Or you will suffer for nothing. The fire will be increased. The trials will be increased. And the fire can include even areas of your life that when people look at you, they will think that coming to Christ became a curse for you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13, 14, and 15. Every man's work, oh, glory be to God, shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it. When will it be declared? How will it be declared? Hallelujah. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Why did he say so? Of what sort it is. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You will see it in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. In fact, it's the whole chapter, but let's just read a few verses there. The church of Jesus Christ is typed by the church in the wilderness. Israel coming out of Egypt on their way to the promised land. See what happened. He said, all the commandments which are commanded this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. What was it for? To humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thy heart, whether thou will have keep his commandments or no. If I will not read any further, you can read the rest on your own. Ah, glory be to God. Hallelujah. See how he led them. See how he led them. Amen. Amen. He led them through the wilderness for 40 years. A journey that would have taken 40 days. Took 40 years. There was alternative to the Red Sea. There was alternative route through those nations. He will have followed another route. Instead, he will follow through the Moabite land, through the Philistines, so that there will be battles. There will be battles. You are fighting a battle of people who are armed and you have no arm. Oh, glory be to God. You are going through a battle. Hallelujah. Hungry people, no economy, no money, nothing. And the enemy is going to face you. Hallelujah. And then he will pass you through the wilderness. No water. No water at all. They will feel thirsty. How can you say God loves us and is making us pass through this? Which promised land? Where is it? Moses. Oh, this is your revelation. Oh, ha! You will have left us. to eat our cucumber and garlic. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. From verse 1. Listen to what Apostle Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. From verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I will not have you. I will not that you should be ignorant. Listen. How that all our fathers, that is, those who left Egypt for the promised land, they were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. And we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, miracle signs and wonders. And did all drink that same miraculous spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was a type of Christ. Was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now he said, now these things were our examples. To the intent, we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. See the things that will prevent you from going in? Let there be idolaters, as we are some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day. 23,000, 3 and 20,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Then he said, now, all these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And verse 12, listen, wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. It will not be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say it will not be our portion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Through trials in the wilderness, many fell. Of that generation, almost 2 million that left Egypt. In that generation that left, only 2 made it to the promised land. Even Moses himself didn't make it. That's why I say, he who thinks he stands, take heed, lest he fall. For God is no respecter of persons. Even Moses, Oga G.O., Oga Bishop, Archbishop, Pope, His Eminence, His Holiness, His Grace, God is no respecter of persons. Pastor Moses, God is no respecter of persons. He who thinks he stands, take heed. Enter message believers, take heed, lest you fall. Fall like how? Fall short of entering the promised land. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And we have winds that are blowing. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Winds. Winds. The separation time. He said, let them both grow together. Let them both grow together. When they were leaving Egypt for the promised land, God was looking at them. I told Moses to go. And let my people, tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Did I say, let everybody go? Eh? Let my people, my people, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his own. He knows his own. The fisherman went for fish, not crayfish, not electric fish, edible fish. And the fisherman is still fishing now. And the net is cast. And many of us are inside that net. But they're there now. God was looking at them. Go on. I know what to do for everyone to find his position. 40 years. One of the things he uses. See, Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Hallelujah. Read verse 11 first. This was John introducing Jesus Christ. Listen. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Who is that person? Who is the person now? Jesus. Whose fan? He has his fan. He has a fan. Oh, he has a fan. It's in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor. To purge the floor, there is to separate the wheat from the tares. To separate the different fishes. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He will gather his wheat into the garner, but burn up the chaff. There are believers, a group of believers known as chaff. Do you know what chaff is? Chaff, if you want the fire to burn well, you put the chaff there inside the fire. It will burn well. They are meant for to increase the fire of hell. Their destination is hell, yet they are going to church. He will separate. There will be a separation. If you catch this revelation, then you will understand why Apostle Peter said, give diligence to make your own calling and election sure. Stop judging other people. Look at yourself. Face yourself because every fruit produces its own kind. Every seed produces its own kind. Therefore, stop bothering yourself about what you see happening in the church. Face yourself first. Save yourself first before you look at others. Except you are looking at them to help them. That if you have the ability to help them. And sometimes, like a drowning man, lifesavers. It's not everybody. You must be a trained lifesaver before you can dive and go to save a drowning man in the sea. If you yourself, no matter how much you know how to swim, it's not enough that you know how to swim. You must also know how to save. If you just go, the person is drinking water. Those who know how to save, they know how to save. Life saver, professionally trained life savers, they will enter the water and then they are there. You know, they'll be swimming around the person. And you wait there outside. Hey, catch him now. He'll be looking at you. He will ignore you. Catch him now. He'll be looking at you. He will ignore you. He'll be going around. The reason he's going around is because at that time that he's struggling, anything he grab. Even at your neck, he grab. Nothing, you cannot release it. You can't release it. 12 now go die. A professional life saver, therefore, he will be going around, until he drink all his iniquity and see the vanity. After he has seen the vanity, now no more strength. Oh, that man, go ahead. Go go ahead, I'm here praying for you. I'm praying for you. This church itself, this is church itself, this church itself, this is church itself. Leave me. How you better pass me? Leave them. Just they go round them. When he has finished drinking his or her iniquity, hallelujah, hallelujah, he now needs help. That is when the professional will go and lift him. He has no strength again. Then you bring him to land. And after you bring him to land, you press him and press the water. Press the iniquity out of him. Out of him. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.